Devaki Rasamrita Sindhu. We have discussed over the last couple of years sadhana bhakti and vaidhi sadhana and raghunubha sadhana, and now we're on bhava bhakti. This is the first verse, which is Jiva Goswami gives a very elaborate commentary, which is Pujapad. Srila Bhanuswami Maharaj has very nicely translated and given us. And I just make different points. It gets so technical, and I can't just absorb it all and present it in a very poetic and eloquent fashion, as I really haven't sufficiently assimilated it myself. But let's read what we have. We've been reading through the purport. And this particular, we're talking, first of all, review the verse and then give the translation according to this purport. This is the third wave of Bhava Bhakti, Bhakti Rasamriti Sindhu. This is October 25th, 2010. Shuddha Satva Visheshatma, Prema Sriyam Shu Samyabhak, Ruchi Vishchita Masrinya, Krit Aso Bhava Uchite. That division of bhakti, or level of bhakti, which is called bhav, is made of the essence of samvit and madini shakti, which is known as bhakti proper. This is one ray of the sun of prema, which will soon rise in the heart. And after that ray of prema, or pure bhakti, aka samvit and madini shakti, blended together. When that ray of prema or bhava enters the heart, it creates an effect of softening the heart. And that softened heart expresses particular symptoms and creates certain actions in the individual who has received the touch of that ray of prema. The heart becomes so softened. Softened means that we say that it's said in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, when one chants Hare Krishna, mantra, Hare Krishna, if tears do not come to his eyes, it indicates that his heart is steel framed. In other words, steel is a very hard object. You say case hardened, or something like this. It's very hard. So that what makes the heart hard? What makes the heart hard are material desires. They're heavy, they're thick, and they're hard. They're dense. And they make one very heavy and thick and hard and dense. They're coverings of the pure, light, and joyful, delightful Atma. Prabhupada said everyone wants to be like a transcendental spaceman, like Narada Muni is a transcendental spaceman. He's unencumbered. He's free. There's no heavy baggage. Nothing hard about. Nothing hard. We say he's light-hearted. Prabhupada was extremely grave in terms of his purpose. His intention, his purpose, and his actions are very grave and very dira. But he was extremely light-hearted. He could be the funniest person in the world. And he was always, at every second of his manifested presence here, he was always the most joyful and blissful entity anyone could ever meet. Because his heart was completely softened by Radharani's touch, by Radharani's mercy. So the Bhava Bhakta, because all the heart has been purified and all the heavy articles have been removed, all the anarthas and obstacles and heavy weights of the heart, they've been removed, and now the heart is softened. And what does it mean, softened heart? Like a heart, there's a soft heart, and there's a soft heart, there must be a hard heart. And the hard heart is such that nothing happens when we chant Hare Krishna, we don't cry. When the heart is softened by a ray of bhav, just like if you have a very strong ray of heat, it can melt something, it can melt an object. You have this laser saw. It creates a concentrated beam of light, laser, and you focus it on a piece of steel, and you cut through the steel. It melts it. It's concentrated, it looks like a light beam, you see? Laser saw, it's not some mechanical arrangement of a blade or some old-fashioned thing. It's laser. It's Tivrena, Bhakti Yogina, like a laser. And appear, just hold it and just see light, zzz, cuts through the steel. So when that ray of prema, which is bhava, is like a laser. And it cuts through the steel covering of our heart and destroys all those hard objects. Now that the heart is softened, it expresses itself not as material desires, which are so hard and dense and thick and heavy, but the heart expresses intense desires to meet Krishna. To meet Krishna, to serve Krishna, and exchange love with Krishna. Because that's what service is all about. That's what meeting and service is all about. It's all about exchanging love. We meet him to serve him, and we serve him to love him. And our service is our love, and our love is our service. This is bhav. This is the definition. It's appealing. It's pure. This is. So then, he explains this whole purport, this is the definition. And then he explains, so this section talks about the descent of bhav and the actions of bhav. Then, how bhav enters the heart. This is a review for everyone, mostly. Krishna Sarup Shakti, which is a combination, his internal spiritual Sarup Shakti, which is a combination of his Ladini Shakti and Samvit, means basically Bhakti is Radhan Krishna. Samvit Krishna, Vasudev Krishna, and Ladini Radha. So Bhakti is generally told because it's a Shakti, it's not a Purusha, it's a Shakti. Bhakti is called a Devi. Shakti is a Devi or feminine. There's Sandhya Devi, there's also Sadhana Devi. There's a personified energy of Sadhana, Sadhana Devi. And Bhakti Devi. Bhakti Devi is an amsha of Radharani. When the two Shaktis combine, Ladini Shakti is Radha, and when she takes the Samvit Shakti of Krishna, then she manifests as Bhakti Devi. Because she says, she sees, I'm looking for more people to serve my Shyam, for more souls. And I see that you become qualified to be utilized by me. So then she enters her heart, Bhakti enters her heart and dances there and moves there. So this is the descent of Bhakti Devi into the heart. Just like Vasudev, Balaram descended into his heart, and then Krishna, then Balaram descended into the heart of Vasudev, and then Krishna. So this Bhakti, or this Surup Shakti, this bhava, descends from the hearts of the eternal associates of Krishna and appears in the mind of the advanced devotee. And then this bhava creates a variety of mental conditions, which are called chittavritti. And the main characteristic of the mind at this time is one has a very favorable attitude towards the Lord. And then Ruchi, Bish, Chitta, Masrinya, Chitta, Masrinya. The Chitta becomes soft. That fine layer of distinction between the ego and the Atma is called Chitta. It's very interesting. There's one purport in the third canto of Bhagavatam, which I never saw before, but we were giving a class recently in Delhi in June or so. And I had heard this and had this discussion in Hindi with Vaishnavada. From here, the three-hour discussion right here at this ashram in Hindi, and then some translation here and there and later. Because I was very inquisitive about this chitta. And he said, because we were raised in our career in ISKCON, and the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Bhumira Podmalo Vayu Kamano Vidur Evacha Ankara Itiyam and Bina Prakriti Ashtata. Ashta. There's eight separated energies which constitute the living entity. The conditioned soul has a body made of earth, water, fire, air, ether. This is called the linga sharir, gross body. Then the shukshma sharir, subtle body, is man, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Man, Buddhi, and Hankara. That's eight. And we see this word chaito and chitta. We say chit is heart, chit is mind, chit is spiritual energy. Many interchangeable words here to define this one entity. But chitta, C-H-I-T-T-A, chitta is actually the ninth covering or the ninth layer. And this is where the samskaras are stored, and this is carries the samskaras from life to life. And the false ego and the intelligence, mind, senses, these are just some operating programs based on the software. The actual foundation of the whole computer is the chitta. And there's a purport in the third canto of Bhagavatam, I believe it's Kapila's teachings, where Prabhupada talks about the ninth covering, the ninth layer is the chitta. I was so happy to see that, because as we know, Bhagavatam is the graduate study. Sankhita is giving us a very composite and good view of the whole reality of the five tattvas, jiva tattva and prakriti and kala and bhagavan and action, karma, etc. But it's a little more than that. And as when you read the Yoga Shastras and you read deeper into the subject matter, you find that there is a whole entity just as real as Hankara, just as real as mind, and even this is actually the most important aspect, is the chitta. And it's the ninth covering. This may, wait a minute. So I don't want to be forever in kindergarten. I would like to go on to first grade, second grade. And it's all just expansion of the same foundation of knowledge. That what is the foundation? I'm not the body. I'm Krishna's eternal servant, and I'm meant to serve and love Krishna. Bhas. Chanarai Krishna, take prasadam, serve Guru day and night, and go back to Godhead. What's the problem? Why all this knowledge and all these things? But for those that are interested in going a little deeper and their mind demands that, it's all there. As they say, everything is in Prabhupada's books. Well, I've been trying to somewhat superficially read Prabhupada's books for a few years, and I never really saw that before. And it was my turn to give class on a verse with that very purport. And I said, wow. I said, that's all I need. Prabhupada said that the ninth covering, the ninth layer, between the, is this chitta. So then everyone's like, what's this? This is Prabhupada. And then I was inquisitive about this since I heard the Shikshasing. Chaita, what is this chitta? Well, the samskaras have to be karmani nirdhati kintu chabhakti japajan. Brahma Samhita says karmani nirdhati, that the karmas has to be destroyed by bhakti bhajan. Where are they? And then how does the mind interact with the senses? And it was very clear, I explained whole chemistry from giving an example. You see something, how that object goes from the indriya to the chitta. It goes from the chitta, then it passes from the chitta through the false ego, then it goes to the mind and the back, and then action. I described the whole thing. It just flowed. I didn't even have any notes. I just understood how it worked. At least I think so. And even I prefaced my talk by saying, I hope I'm right. But I feel myself to be right by the mercy of Prabhupada. And that one sentence told it all for me, because everything I had studied and the research I had done on this topic. So when this ingress of Bhava Bhakti comes from the associates of the Lord or the enlightened, benevolent acharyas in our illustrious parampara, they deem us fit to be recipients of their causeless mercy, then this Bhava will descend upon us. Because you can get any number of bodies, but without Bhava, they don't work. You can have so many dead bodies lying in a morgue, but without the Atma, they don't move. In the spiritual world, you enter the spiritual world in the strength of Bhav. You move in the spiritual world in exchange with Krishna in the spiritual world in the strength of Bhav. The depth and extent of the Bhav. Radharani's body, she doesn't have a body. She doesn't have a siddhadeya. Her body is Mahabhav Surupini. Her color is Bhav, her hair is Bhav, her feeling, everything is Mahabhav. Bhav precedes the body. not that the body precedes the bhav. It's basic what we have in the modern world is body first, bhav later, or maybe never, later or never, as we say. Better late than never, but maybe late and never. And at least Krishna says it first, bhav. Krishna says first bhav and then body. Rupa Goswami says first bhav and then body. So we tend to follow Krishna, Rupa Goswami. It's very basic. Yam yam bhapi swaran bhav. Cultivate bhav. Whole life is all about cultivating bhav. Bhav for wife, or husband, or money, control, power. Then you get the body. Your diet, oh, you cultivated this bhav? Get this body. Bingo, it's given. You get color, you get form, you get dress, you get language, you get seva, you get a place, you get a seva kunj, you get a place to live, you get a nishtha, you get someone to worship. Isn't it? A man cultivates bhav for his wife. That's natural. So affectionate, so dear, so sweet. That's natural. If he's not attached, then he's some kind of crazy person. Wife, oh, so nice. Thinking bhav, 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 then dying, remembering wife. Next slide. Hey, I'm a gopi, or at least a woman. It's got the form and this kind of clothes and this color of skin. I'm an Indian gopi. I have brown skin. I'm a Bengali gopi, I have golden skin. And this is my name. You get Ekadash Bhav. Don't you? You get a place, everything. Automatically. You don't just think. While the old man is dying, he says, well, next life I'm going to be a woman because I'm so attached to my wife. So I should get initiated into my woman's body and start thinking, I'm Mrs. Jones, I'm born in Frankfurt, and this is my place of seva, and this is my... It is a negative. As soon as you die, you get the body. Look at the first canto of Bhagavatam. Narada Muni, as soon as... It says it's just like, how much time does it take to... Take a needle. If you make a petal garland, you have 100 petals, so many little petals, and then you put the needle through the petals. How much time does it take to go from one petal to 100 petals? So this one analogy is used. He gave up this body, and that fast he received a citadel. Don't read anywhere. Narada Muni sat down. He had some charts of Radharani's house and Krishna's house and yoga peat, and he was meditating this way, that way. That can be done. That was all presented in the 1800s by Siddha Krishnadas to keep people busy. They had no engagement. He was a siddha. He was seeing it. He was there. He dipped into it. But then all these young people come to Radhika and Govardhan, Bhavas, and they don't know what to do all day. There's no engagement. They don't know how to go out to every town and village. They read this thing in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Every town and village, they can't understand the integration or the connection between Lord Garanga's Goshyanandi concept and Vajrananda concept. So they just ran with one line of thought and developed a whole structure around it. But if you read all the books of the Goswamis, read them. Go ahead. I challenge anyone. There's nothing mentioned there about Siddha Pranama. There's, Seva Sadhak Rupena, Siddha Rupena Chatriya is at the level of Sadhana Bhakti. It's Ramanuga Sadhana to Siddha Rupena Chatriya, to meditate on Siddha Rupena. Now, what does that mean? And there's so many, that's the Antas Chintadeya. But that meditation is, there's the Shravana Dasha in that line when the Loba Mahi Shraddha is awakened. Reading in that line, cultivating the adhikar and ruchi for that. And then if the ruchi becomes so great, then there's particular templates or generic meditations that are given in the old ancient books, which is basically almost like Siddha Pranali, but not exactly. So you have the basic, just like the man who is attached to his wife, he has a basic idea, oh, I'm like my wife, she's like this. What specifics he's going to get in the next life, he's not aware. But because of the content of his meditation, the content of his attachment and absorption is specified in a particular form, his wife, then he will definitely get the form of wife. And then the particulars that's arranged by Karmana Divinitrena Jantur Dehopapatiye. Verses in the third canto. Karmana Divinitrena Jantur Dehopapatiye. Deha Upavata. That the body that one gets is determined by its karmic activities, punyam pap, and the arrangement of the daiva, daivic arrangement. It means the celestial arrangement of the demigods controlling all the senses and elements, and the daiva means the supreme daiva is Krishna, Paramatma. That's how we get our next body, it's told in Kapila Shiksha. So everyone's fretting and worrying, I don't have my siddhadeha, I'm a failure. Interesting idea. But siddhadeya without any siddhavab is nowhere. It's a very extremely gurus and saintly people have developed this as a methodology of bhajan to give the siddhadeya. It's mentioned in Harinam Chintamani by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He received siddhadeya from his guru. But then 6 years later when he wrote Nam Bhajan to give his swan song, his final word to the world. These are the secrets of my lifelong bhajan that you can all be attained by Nam. Nam bhajan. He's giving 200 verses to explain 8 steps of bhajan, the progressive path of bhajan, supported by 200 verses, which expand the understanding and application of Shikshastikam and the 8 pairs of the holy name and the 9 limbs of devotion from Shraddha to Prema. Combining these elements together to create a path of bhajan. Because someone, an illustrious acharya and well-wisher of that caliber, is certainly not going to leave something unsaid in the last years of his life. And when he actually retired from family life and all the entanglements and entered into the bhakti kuti, this is the bhajan that he practiced throughout the day and the night. And his intention was when a sadhaka, of course, it's supposed to be Bhakti Rasamrita. That's all kind of related. When a sadhaka disentangles himself from the extraneous endeavors and actions of maintaining and family, he should spend his whole day with this book. It's told in the introduction. Of course, there's sleeping is there in the day and eating and the basic maintenance of the body and environment we live in, cleaning the house, etc. But we're retired, and we can spend the whole day, morning to noon. He said every day the sadhaka should go through the 8, read my book, little bits and pieces of 8 sections every day, just day after day after day. Keep chanting, chant and read and be happy. Chant and be happy, okay. Chant and Bhakti Mills probably say chant and be happy, okay. We're happy when we know who we are. We're happy when we know who Krishna is. So how to find that happiness and how to find ourselves and how to find Krishna. He's giving his way. And in this particular age, he's a seer. He's a seer. He's not a traditionalist. Traditionalists just carry the ball and pass it on to the next one. But there's what they call visionaries. I don't know how you say in other languages, but there's visionaries, the seers, the inventors, the Michael, what do they call it? Da Vinci's, and the great scientists. So he's Trikalagya. Trikalagya means a spiritual scientist, a spiritual visionary. Obviously, he's Trikalagya. He's making forecasts. I foresee a day when the people from the foreign lands, from Germany and England and America and Russia, they'll join their Bengali godbrothers on the banks of the Ganga and at Yoga Pit, and they will chant, Jaya Shachi Nandana, Jaya Shachi Nandana. I foresee the day. He spoke that in 1910. And when did the day come? A long time, 3,000, 10 million years later, like this. Who's the guy that makes predictions in Europe or something? What's the guy? Nostradamus. I don't know. I can't remember the name. This Nostradamus. And so I don't know, maybe some things are true or not. I never really pursued that. But I know about our acharyas, and what they say comes true. Satyavacham. they're Brahmins and they're backed by God, I don't know, maybe Nostradamus is backed by God too, I don't know anything about this individual, really, to fairly speak anything. But I do know, without a doubt, that the great devotees are backed by God, and that's a good backing. Satyavacham. Pram satyam chadimahi. So they are worshipping Satyam Sundaram Shivaram. Krishna is Satyam Shivaram Sundaram. So when they speak, it's true. Satya, Satyavacha. And great saints have Vag Siddhi. Vag Siddhi means perfection. Whatever they say comes true. These are powers given by God. So Bhaktivinoda doesn't have those powers? Certainly he does. So he's saying, I foresee a day, and that day happened 76 years later. 1910 he said this. 1986 it happened. And Jayashachinandan Swami Maharaj, he was there, dancing with his German brothers and his American brothers and Bengali brothers and everyone dancing. Jayashachinandan. It happened. It really happened. So similarly, he's saying, it will happen. We will get our siddhadeya. We will enter the lila by following this path of Dham Bhajan. Oh, I don't believe it. This is... Oh, yeah, because you have to take everything together. Because what I find here, which is kind of... I'm just mentioning this point because I rather like it. But the publicity going on now is the... I don't want to say opposition party. I'll just say the alternate party. Because there's really no opposition. There's no opposites. In the spiritual world, there's no opposites. There's an integrated oneness. And there's day and night, there's always day. It's eternality means an integrated oneness. So an alternate position is that, oh, and then sometimes they argue, even your bhakti, although they usually don't, on so many other accounts, they don't accept what Bhaktivinoda says, and they're arguing points. They say, oh, you're Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he also advocates Siddha Pranali and Harinath Chintamani. And then most people are mum. Tao Chi. And so therefore, you come here, we'll give you Siddha Pranali. Even your own Paramparam Guru. They leave it at that. And that for most simple people, they just quit there and say, gee, you're right. You know, I surrender. But is that all Bhaktivinoda said? And that's all he ever wrote? That was his final word. That word, that is true. What he said in Anjantami, a guru can give you your Siddha Pranali. But where are those Siddha Gurus? And where is that Siddha Shishya? I know many gurus Paramahansa devotees, and they have hundreds of disciples and only one or two they give the Siddha Pranali. It's not so freely given. Some people are liberal. That's also their right. A guru can ride on a bus. A modern guru can get on a bus with someone, sit there. Generally, a disciple comes to the ashram, lives 3 years with the guru, minimum 1 year, serving 24 hours a day. Guru's examining. Does this person have a brain? Does he have any faith? Is he submissive? Does he have the qualities of a disciple? That's minimum 1 year, 24-hour surveillance, interaction, service. But the recommended is 3 years, carrying firewood, all these things. But then it says, if he has a prerogative, and right, if he just meets someone on the spot, would you like to receive mantra? And the person says yes, and he gives mantra. That's also acceptable. I have this Hindi pancham, and it tells the auspicious times to give diksha and all these things. I read a little bit of Hindi. And then it tells this month and this nakshatra, all these little details about good things, good times. Then there's a footnote there. It says, however, if the diksha is being done in a holy place, like Mathura or Haridwar, etc., or at the discretion of the initiating guru, he can initiate anywhere at any time. So it's one of those, there are rules and there's no rules. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is going to be a very realistic and wonderful path. And our Prabhupada is propagating that. And like someone say, oh, well, that's the alternative party says. that all you people that are chanting Hare Krishna, no one has realized. Okay, fine. Now it's my turn. And so many of you people have taken Siddha Pranali. Have any of you realized your Siddhadeya? And now let's be honest. Because if they say yes, that means they've attained Bhav. And if you examine their life, they have no symptoms of Bhav. I mean the internal symptoms. I mean, anybody can cry. But the internal symptoms. Then, it's a draw. Your path has very few successful examples, and our path has very few successful examples. Why? Because it's not easy to get success in one snap of a finger, one life. We get impatient on the boat of ISKCON or the non-bhajan path. Oh, what was happening? It's not so easy. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Ki Jai. We're discussing the descent of Bhav into the heart and the actions of Bhav once Bhav appears in the heart. And we'll hopefully continue that tomorrow at the mercy of Srila Prabhupada.